Okay, so we're picking up the third parak of the Chaznish Emunah Bitachon. It's actually, he finished Emunah and Bitachon already. So that was parak Aleph, parak Beis. Parak Gimel is a very interesting topic where he talks about Musar v'Halacha. Musar v'Halacha. So again, Musar in the sense of morality and Halacha are not two concepts that we necessarily assume go hand in hand. But the Chaznish explains that in fact, they go very closely, they're really very close-knit. And he says like this, Chovos hamusorios heima lifamim guf echad in piskei ha'alacha. Our moral obligations sometimes are directly connected to psak halacha. V'ha halacha hiya machras esa aser v'samuta shel toras hamusar. And he says sometimes it's the halacha that dictates and indicates to us what's the proper thing to do on a moral level. We, again, a little bit more maybe Western, kind of sometimes think the opposite, and we try to take the morality sometimes and change the halacha to fit with what seems to be the right thing to do. And but he's telling us here, it's actually the exact opposite. And that sometimes, in order to figure out what the moral thing and the proper thing to do is, you have to first know what the halacha is. So he gives an example. He says, Ketzad. Said, Amr, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, Debulamde Tinokos ain't taino shall posak to the chayusi. Now, when it comes to teachers learning Torah, there's no counterclaim that you've, if a new teacher comes into a neighborhood, that a teacher has been there already, and now it's going to take away from his parnasa. There's no claim when it comes to teaching Torah that you're adversely affecting my livelihood by coming into my territory. What we would call, I guess, a hasagas gul kind of thing. When it comes, there's not even, again, it's hard to apply that also in our economic times, but in this, certainly, there's not even nothing to talk about. Hareshi, he says the example. Hareshish, buyir melamdim is parnasim me'amalam. If there are melamdim, teachers, who get their whole parnas out of their toil, the hard work, ulapitom bo melamdim achir me'arachetz, and suddenly, new teachers come. Uketeva b'nei Adam einam sveim ratzon meishan. It's an unbelievable line. In passing, almost backhandedly, he just zeroes in on such a truism when it comes to human nature, right? And nature of the man is that einam sveim ratzon hayishanos, that people are not satisfied with what they're used to. So something new comes, you got to go to what's new. Everything else has been working and everything else is fine. No, grass is always green on their side. Whatever is new, it's got to be that it's better. So everybody went to the new teachers. Everybody went to what the new and popular thing is. Nobody wants what's the way that it's been anymore. And now the people who were teaching there before and have been adversely impacted. So amekupachim pashtus inasim believe on the road to machadashim. So those that were damaged, the teachers that had been there already, so the hatred is beginning to stir inside of them about these people who are being rode for their parnasa, they're pursuing their livelihood. Umisina salev, and from this hatred, yotzul vakesh aleim to'anos mumim valilos. Then the pretexts and the libels and the lies, everything in the stories, it all comes out, all the scandals. Vilindu l'shonim daber ra'alayim, umei ra'al ra'ayotzi l'hotzi divas shav, l'orach mei b'nei er neged hafzariyot shel abayim ha'chadashim. So there's going to be lashon hara, and there are going to be lies, and there are going to be stories, because they want to get people on their side. They want to rile everybody up to get the new people out of here, and to preserve their livelihood. Ad shosivu b'ktasim rim rivos, they're fighting, u'litim nokmim am nekomos kashar atim sayodam, and sometimes it even leads to full-fledged revenge. Hine, koma same. Everything that they did, hayu menukim mikochet v'avon, would be perfectly fine, clean, luhais ha'alacha kemosam, if the halacha was like them, sheyichon la'akev ha'chadashim. If the halacha would be that you're allowed to prevent others from coming in, then at that point when you are injured by the people that violated the halacha, so then you can rile up people, can make things up, but so those that violated the halacha by coming in, they would be the perpetrators. Then there'd be no sir fighting against them. You'd be allowed to hate them. You'd be allowed to talk lashon hara about them. You'd be allowed to do all these things to stop them because they are the rishayim, because they came in. So we're protecting not just the people who were wronged, but protecting the Torah, because these people were violated. But once the halacha is that getting more people teaching Torah is a positive, and therefore you can't stop new teachers from coming in. And that the concept of kinas sofrim tar bechachma is more important, again, Chazal understood, than a single individual's parnasa. We want to have more people teaching Torah. Therefore, those that came in late, they were the ones who did what the halacha dictated. And the ones that are fighting back against them are spilling innocent blood. And when they hate them, over so they violated the prohibition of hating another Jew in your heart. If they speak badly against them, they've violated Lashon Hara. When they're gathering the throngs against them, they're being like Korach. When they take in revenge, they are violated the prohibition of taking revenge. So he sees that when one simple halacha was said, the halacha was just said that you're not allowed to stop teachers from coming in, included in that are moral halachas as well. Because now, defining who is the pursuer and who is the pursued depends on the halacha. Depends on the halacha and does not depend on what a person feels anymore. So the halacha defines what's moral. He's going to talk about this a little bit more. We'll just do Beis also because he just he makes it a little bit clearer. It says mechovos hamusario sheishtadal adam atas blevos ikar gadolze. That so again, in terms of a moral obligation that we have to be able to think clearly and understand in every situation where you're, you know, butting heads with somebody else. Not by how it looks on the outside, but the halacha has to be the deciding factor to figure who is the one who is the pursuer and who is the one who is being pursued. And then the fact that we study Musar should bring us towards wanting to defend the one that is pursued. And to push back against the one that's the pursuer. And how terrible is it for the people that think that the one who's being pursued is the pursuer and the one and vice versa. And switching the rodef and the nirdof. In order to really know which is which, and without knowing what the halacha is, you can't possibly know. So there are certain Musar ideas about how to act that we can understand, but how to apply them, if we can't appreciate the case first, then we don't know. Maybe another example is, it's not exactly the same thing, but it comes up all the time, is when it comes to Chilul Hashem. It can never be a Chilul Hashem to do what the halacha demands of somebody. Meaning, if a person asks a shayla, and this is what the halacha is, even if other people and non-Jews will look askance at the person because of doing what the halacha is, that by definition cannot be a Chilul Hashem. It goes against a little bit of the mentality. Any time people are going to look and say, oh, the Jew is doing something and I don't like it, that's a Chilul Hashem. That's not the definition. It's that if a Jew is acting in a way that's not appropriate, that's a Chilul Hashem. But if, let's say, you know, but people sometimes will bend halacha because it's like, so I don't know, but my boss gave me, again, a glass of wine. If I don't drink that glass of wine, he's going to be insulted. Okay, but the guest of wine, the abundance said you can't drink it. The wine of a non-Jew is not kosher. So not drink, he may be insulted, but it's not a Chilul Hashem. It might be the opposite. It may be a Kiddush Hashem. Even though he doesn't appreciate, In his eyes, it's not. But ultimately, Kiddush Hashem is about doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So again, to curse out your boss, so that's a Chilul Hashem, because you're doing something wrong and it's reflecting negatively on the Torah and on the way a Jewish person should act. But if we're doing what the Torah demands of us, now again, there are certain gray areas where it's not clear what the Torah demands of us, and there are certain times there is flexibility, but that's when a question needs to be asked. But to assume that the definition of Chilul Hashem is, if the guy's not going to like it, then it must be that that's the wrong thing to do, that's not true. That's not the definition. But again, in order to be able to define that, that requires knowing the halacha. So again, it's not exactly in the realm of Musar, but it's a similar concept where sometimes there's this overlap between defining a scenario and knowing the halacha, where our gut might tell us one thing, but if we know what the Torah wants, it's not necessarily going to do the same thing, and it requires a certain pichus and straight way of thinking and humility to be able to sometimes do what's the uncomfortable thing, but that's what the Torah wants, and people will look at us and say, this is what a Jew does. Maybe it is. This is sometimes a Jew does what a Jew. You know, you have to leave work early in the middle of a big project because Shabbos is coming. The rest of the team is going to be upset. Okay, so be it. But ultimately, we answer to higher authority. Or is that one of those hot dog things, right? Okay. Shkoyach Rabosai. Good to